Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. It is Monday, February the 6th, just in case you're podcasting this show at a later time. It's Monday, February 6th, 2017. And I hope a lot of you folks out there are enjoying having a great new year, having just a wonderful time. A lot of people are not. But I hope at least some people are getting some sort of happiness from 2017, especially if you're fulfilling your resolution, your New Year's resolution. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, three T's, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago, yeah. And the Patriots won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I made some time to watch the Super Bowl. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you out there also watched the Super Bowl. There are some people who probably did not because they're not interested in sports. That's fine. But I watched the game and, I watched down for down. I mean, and I was just stunned and amazed how the Patriots came back. They came back from 25 points down playing Atlanta. And for the beginning of the first quarter, or the first half, pardon me, Atlanta was dominating the game. Even Tom Brady himself thought that they were going to lose. I mean, Tom Brady, this guy is the greatest quarterback ever. I mean, they came all the way back from a surefire loss. And I think they only lost because Atlanta blew their running game instead of in the overtime segment of it. I think they blew their the running game by going to the air, and I think that screwed it up for them because they all they had to do was move a few yards and then kick a field goal, and that would have probably won the game for them. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. The New England defense held strong, and they won the game. They came back. They came back from a 25-point deficit. You've got, whether you like Tom Brady or not, you've got to give the guy his props. This is his fifth Super Bowl ring, and he deserves it, folks. He deserves to be called the greatest quarterback in U.S. history. I mean, who's going to break – what team is going to break that record of winning five consecutive Super Bowls? None. Not one. Not in my lifetime. Maybe not in yours either, but this is something for the record books. This guy's going to go down in history, and he deserves it. I mean, the guy is just a good quarterback. I used to be a fan of Peyton Manning. I thought Peyton Manning was one of the greatest quarterbacks. I thought that Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, they are still great quarterbacks, but there's no doubt about it that Tom Brady is a few steps above both of those guys. Okay. I mean, he is just phenomenal. And as I'm talking about football, you know, I got to say something about the lowly Bears. I've got to say something about the lowly Chicago Bears, who went 3-13 last year. That means that they've won 3 and lost 13. And don't even mention the Super Bowl for the Bears. Don't even mention playoffs for the Bears. I don't think they're going to do it this year either, folks. I actually think the Bears aren't going to do it this year either. Why? Because they haven't so far, they haven't made any really major changes. We still have the same coach. We still have the same quarterback, which is Jay Cutler. And we still have some of the guys on the team. There's been no big changes. So if there's been no big changes, there may not be any big changes once the season opens, the regular season opens. It's just sorrow that the Bears they still have the same coach. There's no change. And when you do not change your personnel in the case of the Bears, you're gonna have more and more of the same, period, because you got the same people. You're gonna have more losses, more embarrassments, more interceptions, more sacks, you know, all of this. And you're going to have more people skipping the game because of what I've just got through mentioning. There's no big change in the Bears personnel. You know, they have the same people that they've lost 3-13. The same people. I mean, you have to make some changes. You have to be a little bit different. You want the fans to come to the game. You better have somebody out there who can win, period. You want somebody to come to the game. You better put some players out there who knows their job and execute. But I don't see that now. So if I was a season holder to the Bears game come 2017, I probably would not go to the games. I probably wouldn't use the tickets. I'd probably give them away. Because I don't want to sit there and watch the Bears lose. I don't want to pay my hard-earned money that I bust my ass for at my menial job and sit there and watch these guys lose as they've lost all last regular season. It's ridiculous. So I have to mention the Bears. You know, I mean, I live in Chicago. This is where I broadcast from, and I have been a Chicago Bears fan all my life, but this is just ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen the Bears as bad as this, as terrible and awful as this. And yet, there has been no personnel changes. There may be a few lower level people who have left, but they have to get to the top. I think Jay Cutler has to go. I think the coach John Fox has to go. Maybe even the general manager. You know, but nothing has changed. That tells me that the ownership of the Chicago Bears believe in these people and they're keeping them around. Let me tell you this. The fans don't believe in them. We don't believe in these people. 3-13, give me a break. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. We have been off for a few days. I've got some writing done, and that's great. I've done a little, we've done some errands and stuff like that. And we're on the air from 6 to 7:30, Monday through Thursday. Okay, Monday through Thursday. I've done a lot of booking. So basically, this month is all booked up. We got some great guests on the show. You make sure you tune in for that. Beautiful people, wonderful people. They are about it as I am about it also. And what we are about is making the world a better place one show at a time. It doesn't matter what you do, what you are about, but if you come on this show and you're talking in some way about making the world a better place, this is the show for you, the George Wilder Jr. Show. 347-857-1762. All righty, what do we have here? Let's take a break right here, folks. Thanks for joining me.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be American. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a nonviolent way. We know how to do things nonviolently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting nonviolently. All right, the UK, the speaker bans Trump from the parliament. Wow, that's got to be something. They do not want Trump speaking over in Britain. They were trying to get the, let me see what they're doing here, trying to get the prime minister to not accept Donald Trump into their country, but she was steadfast and decided that she was going to welcome Donald Trump. However, the people of that country, they are steadfast against him, and boy, they, and now they have canceled a speaking engagement. And I mean, Trump has to, he has to feel something of this. You know, people all over the place, all over the world, actually, you know, denouncing him. He has to feel something. He acts, he tries to be tough. I know there's, he tries to be tough, but the guy is actually thin skin as they can get. You know, he's exactly thin skin as they can get. And he has been banned, to use his words, on the banning of Muslims into this country from certain other countries, Middle Eastern countries. This guy is something else. And now he's in court right now trying to get the ban overturned. You know, he's trying to get it reinstated, but the judges are standing steadfast. So this thing might go all the way to the Supreme Court, because Trump believes in what he's doing, and what he's doing is probably illegal, against everything the Constitution has stood for. But he doesn't care. We have King Trump, Emperor Trump. He likes for people to, he made a statement earlier today, or was it yesterday? And he said that, quoting Trump, "I call the shots." I don't know why he said that, or why he think he had to say that, because we know within his own circle that he calls the shots, but he doesn't call any shots when it comes to America that are not of American values. Okay. I think Trump has gotten over his head. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing as president. I mean, he's acting, he's playing a part, he's playing a role. Trump is a TV personality, and he cannot govern an entire country like a television host. And that seems like what he's doing. You know, because the White House, when he's gathered around the table with all of his cabinet picks, and, you know, it looks like a set from The Apprentice, a show that he still is part of because he's the executive producer. But he's, you know, obviously he's president of the United States right now, but he keeps close tabs on the show, especially the ratings, if you know what I mean. Trump is... he's been banned. It says it right here. UK speaker bans Trump from the parliament. He's got to feel, a little bit slighted right there. Yeah, and his ban, and I'm so glad that they overturned this ban, that this judge that he now criticized as a so-called judge. I mean, anytime you don't do things the way Donald Trump wants you to do, whether it's right or wrong, he's coming after you. He's going to attack you. He's going to try and, you know, talk about your job, what you do, and what a louse you are, what a loser you are. I mean, he said the same thing about everybody who didn't vote for him. Everybody who didn't vote for Trump. I mean, everyone in the United States who did not vote for Trump. He called us losers. He called us all losers. Trump thinks that he can only... govern the people who voted for him. This is why the country is so divided. It is totally divided. It is more divided than it's ever been before. It was divided when Barack Obama was president. And he himself said that he was very, very sorry that he could not bring the country together. We're all sorry that he couldn't bring the country together. As for now, we have Donald Trump, and we know that this, we know that this guy is not going to bring the country together because he's working diligently to separate the people of this country, and he's doing a good job of it. Trump is corrupt. This guy is so corrupt, it's a damn shame. And there is so much out there that Trump can be impeached for. There is so much that he can be impeached for. If this was any other president, they would be gone by now. There is so much out here, and I don't have to go down a litany of lists to tell you what they are, because I believe you know what they are. And just about every one of these things are impeachable defenses. Offenses. The thing here is that Congress has to get its finger out of its butt and do something about this man. He's taking America down the tubes. We have lost our standing in the world because of this guy. But one of the things I do know, and I do appreciate, that most of the people around the world, including some of those who are governing these countries, they do not blame the American people for what's going on in America. They blame one person, and they're protesting and rallying against one individual, and that person is Donald Trump. So I'm grateful for that. And every day that Donald Trump is in the White House, there's a protest, there is a rally. And he keeps saying that his polls are high. This guy is delusional. During the Women's March, every state within America protested him. They were marching. They were marching around the world. That should tell him something, that he is totally not liked. And the polls are true. But he doesn't want to believe that. I mean, Donald Trump is in another damn world somewhere. But a lot of us are banking that he's not going to do a year. I'm saying he's not going to even do 6 months. If he does a 4-year term as president, by that time, we're going to be dead, probably. Bombed out of our homes because of this guy and his short fuse, his short temper, and the way he is just pissing off other world leaders around the country and doesn't give a damn about it. Putin, Vladimir Putin is a killer. And this guy is just, you know, he's just in bed with this man. If Trump should produce his tax returns, which he said he would, but now I believe he's not going to do them at all, period. I think there's something in his tax forms that are probably impeachable defenses, offenses. I keep saying the wrong word. That's reason why he will not produce them. There's enough in there to impeach him. And it's going to happen sooner or later, I believe, if the Republicans stop letting this guy run roughshod over them. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is author Cynthia M. Roots. Roots, R-U-I-Z, Roots. All right. That should be interesting. Okay, we will be right back, folks. Here we go. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened. taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
It's time for Donald Trump to resign as president. Admittedly, it's been an interesting couple of days, but for any patriotic American capable of adding two and two and not getting 1.5 million, this is enough. If you voted for Trump, or you support him now, or you're saying give him a chance, again, I'm not going to yell at you or call you names. I'm not going to try to argue any policies. I'm not going to debate the size of his crowds, nor whatever your conclusions are about Saturday's marches. In fact, I'm going to compliment you on your generosity toward him and the sincerity of your belief in his promises and your natural, your commendable desire to see him and thus see our country succeed. But this man is not of sound mind. In office, faster and more frighteningly than at any point in the campaign, over the span of just a long weekend, really, Trump has proved that not only will he lie to America about anything big or small, but that just as importantly, he will lie to himself about anything big or small. And more troubling yet, he will compel men, weaker even than himself, to lie on his behalf about anything big or small. And worst of all, the lies will convince some people, and they will convince one person, especially dangerous in particular, Donald Trump. Because what Trump does not believe cannot be true. And that way lies madness and lies every evil imaginable, including the end of this country in a literal sense, perhaps the end of civilization. Because like somebody who's strung out on drugs or somebody who's living in a complete dreamlike state caused by profound, pulsating narcissism, he will not believe that the outcome of any of his actions could be failure or disaster or even something that could be harmful to himself. A man who could accuse the Central Intelligence Agency of trying to undermine him and ask rhetorically of the conduct of that agency, quote, are we living in Nazi Germany? A man who could do that and then 10 days later go and stand in front of the shrine of its fallen agents and insist with a straight face, with every word he said and motion that he made suggesting he really believes this, he could say, quote, they sort of made it sound like I had a feud with the intelligence community, and I just want to let you know the reason you're the number one stop is it is exactly the opposite. A man who could insist to those same men and women at the CIA that it stopped raining the moment he started to give his inaugural address when you saw the rain falling on him. That is the kind of man who could convince himself that it would be just fine to start a nuclear war. Because, of course, he would survive the retaliatory attack, and so would his family, and so would whatever people he thinks are his friends, or to use his word, his fans. Of course they would all survive the retaliation because he's Donald Trump, and bad things cannot happen to Donald Trump. At the CIA, Trump told the agents there that he has, quote, a running war with the media. He does not have a running war with the media. He has a running war with reality. His reality is what he says it is. He has an advisor who came out and said Sunday that when you deliberately contradict reality, that mm-hmm. is not lying or deceiving, but rather that's using, quoting her, alternative facts. You try alternative facts in your life for 1 hour. Let me know how it goes. Drive on which...
All right, folks, that was Keith Olbermann, and I always give him a shout out because he is always spot on the George Wilder Jr. show. Okay, it seems as though we have a phone call. Let's go see what is up. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. show. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Cynthia Ruiz, your guest for this evening.
Yes, Cynthia M. Reese. All right, thanks for joining
me.
Give us, the M, of course, the M, always the M. Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit of something about yourself. I understand that you are an inspirational speaker. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, George, I do a lot of things. I'm an author.
Okay.
I'm a professor. I'm an inspirational speaker. I'm an executive coach. And you know what? At the end of the day, I am just trying to be a beneficial presence on this planet.
Yeah, I understand that. So am I. I totally agree.
And the other thing, George, I wanted to say about you is that I just want to thank you for having this platform to have different discussions. Because a lot of times in the mainstream media, we don't have the very necessary discussions. So I just want to acknowledge you, George, and thank you for having this show and having that good discussion.
Okay, thank you. All right, very, very nice, and I totally appreciate it. You say you are an author. What kind of books have you written?
Well, I have two books. The first book is called Finding Sane Relationships in a Crazy World, and that's actually in English and Spanish, and it sounds like a relationship book, but I believe that one of the most important relationships you could have is with yourself, and when you're happy and healthy, guess what? You're going to have better relationships.
I totally agree with that. And you, I'm pretty sure that you probably, both these books probably relate to some of your own experiences in life that you want to share with others.
Absolutely. And my second book is called Cherokee Wisdom, 12 Lessons for Becoming a Powerful Leader. So I live in Los Angeles, and I love Los Angeles because it's such a diverse city, but I come from a very diverse background. I come from two cultures. So I'm half Mexican, and I like to say I get my passion for life and my love for music and dance from being Latina. And then I actually get my spirituality and love for Mother Nature from my Native American Cherokee side. So yes, both books have been come from my knowledge and wisdom that I've gained over the years. I'm not saying I know everything, but if I can share what I've learned to help other people, then that's part of being a beneficial presence on this planet.
I totally agree. That's what I'm all about. I'm all about trying a way of finding how to make the world a better place, because we sure need that. Tell me a little bit something about some of the lessons of a powerful leader.
Well, what I share in the book comes from the Cherokee way of life, and it's really 12 attributes of leadership. So we as a culture believe that there are certain things that make a good leader. And one of them is integrity. Have integrity in all you do. And the way we define this is doing the right thing, even when no one else is looking. And we all know what the right thing is, right?
Well, we should.
and the next one is respect. To me, it's so important to respect each other. We all have our individual journeys in this life, and it doesn't mean that my journey is better or my opinion's better. I think right now we see a lot of craziness and everyone trying to prove that they're right. Well, guess what? We all have an opinion, and our opinion we're entitled to based on our individual self, and we, in my opinion,
I
respect
agree.
Other people.
And not to be demonized. Yeah, and not to be demonized because of our opinion.
Exactly. And so what happens, in my opinion, so many people get into ego, where ego, they want to be right at any cost. And, you know, if you look at history, we've gone to wars over people wanting to be right. But are they really right? Are they better than anybody else? No. So it takes us into another lesson is humble. You can be a good leader and be humble at the same time.
I totally agree. I totally agree, because I talk to my young son a lot about leadership, because I want him to be a leader. And I want him not a follower, but someone who is guiding others onto the right path. You know, and I talk to him a lot about leadership, and I don't know if he's getting it or not, but, you know, I just have to Maybe I should probably download your book and have him read it, and he can find some things there that he's 17.
Oh, this is a perfect book for him. And if you go mm-hmm. on Amazon.com where they're selling my book, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback and reviews from mm-hmm. men. And I'll tell you why men mm-hmm. like the book, because it's an easy read. It's simple, to the point. It's not flowery. I just like give you my opinion, and this is what it is, and this is what I think a good leader is. And so guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, you just heard me say that I'm going to download a copy. We can download it, right?
Yes. So you can get a hard copy. Some people like to feel the book, or we have a Kindle version. So it's really easy to find. Amazon.com, Cynthia M. Ruiz.
Okay, tell us a little bit something about you being an inspirational speaker. Why do you have the sense to want to inspire people?
Well, I think it's part of who I am. It's been a part of my mm-hmm. entire life. I have a master's degree in counseling. So at a very mm-hmm. early age, I decided I wanted to help people. I was the first person in my family to go to college. I grew up in the inner city of Los Angeles in a rough environment with gangs and drugs. And I decided wanted to change my life. And so the only way I could change it was to get a college education. So once I realized that I can change my life, then I want to turn around and help others and let them know that anything is possible, and I'm living proof that anything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we are so much alike, because I do some of the same things you're talking about on this show from time to time, trying to motivate people to be the best that they can be and then go out to help others to do the same. And I really bring that home on this show, and because that's what I'm all about. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a mother on hand. It was just basically, you know, George raising George, you know. and I'm surprised I came out this way, because without a mother, without a good mother and a father, you know, most kids aren't going to make it. So I'm out here every day trying to motivate them to telling them that they can be anything that they want to do, but you got to want to do it in order to be it. And it's just the way I am, we both know
mm-hmm. it was not easy. Let me tell you, I mean, I could dwell on all the struggles that I've had, but you know what, the mm-hmm. way I look at it, each and every challenge I had in my life, I use it as a lesson and an opportunity to get better. So now I feel like I've overcome so much that mm-hmm. it's all those struggles made me stronger, and they made me the person that I am today. So when I go out and talk to young people like you do, I tell them it doesn't matter your starting point. It doesn't matter if you don't have
exactly,
money.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you came from a divorced family like I did. That doesn't matter. It matters you believing in yourself and just mm-hmm. taking action and doing it.
But, you know, some people have to be pushed. They have to be reminded. They have to be told certain things in order for them to get moving. And that's a shame, but, you know, sometimes they have to be talked to, motivated, in order for them to, you know, push themselves to being what they want to be. And that didn't happen for me, because I knew from the onset what I wanted to do with my life. But you get some people you just have to push. And that's why we're out here, to inspire them to do that and to give them the courage and hopefully some knowledge and for them to move on with their lives.
Well, if I may, I would like to share a little excerpt from the book. And this
is
what I hope can help your listeners. So this comes from chapter 1, page 9, mm-hmm. and it talks about being mm-hmm. fearless. And it says, I believe as a leader, you need to be fearless. Do not be afraid to take risk. If you allow fear to get in your way, you can hinder the progress of the group. The people you are leading usually feed off of your energy, So if they sense fear or uncertainty from you, they will not want to move forward. However, if you're confident and secure in your decisions, they will be more apt to follow your lead. Fear is a powerful emotion and can impact people's behavior. If you only stay within your comfort zone, you will likely miss out on opportunities for greatness for yourself and for others. There are many types of fear which can prevent progress. Fear of taking risks, fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of conflict, fear of public speaking, fear of social rejection. The list goes on and on. Fear also comes in different degrees, starting with a sense of uneasiness, all the way to immobilizing terror. We all experience some level of fear. Just don't let it stop you from becoming a leader or succeeding.
I totally agree. A lot of people are afraid of becoming the best that they can be. There's no doubt about that. And you said fear of public speaking. I remember the first time I was on a stage and there was an audience in front of me. I think fear, I was sort of afraid, but I think that fear that was inside of me as I was speaking in front of an audience actually helped me to be successful at presenting my message.
Right. But what happens is so many times people let fear stop them. Because when you think about it, fear is a normal emotion if you're in a dangerous situation. But most of the things that we're afraid of
are
played out in our head. They're just in our mind. And once you walk through it, you realize, you know what, that wasn't as scary as I thought.
Yeah. All right, Cynthia, our roots on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're getting deep into this, folks. So I hope you're having a great time. All right. Tell everybody where they can find your work. And give us a website, a blog or something where people can go by there and check you out.
Well, I love to connect with people. You can connect with me on my website. It's Cynthia, CynthiaMRUIZ.com. I do weekly blog posts. I'm all over social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. And I'm all over the technology and social media. And my books, you can get them on Amazon.com. Just look up Cynthia, CynthiaRUIZ. Mm-hmm.
All right, easy. Cynthia, is there anything, Cynthia, is there anything that you want to say that you haven't said already on the show?
I just want your listeners to really believe that anything is possible. Anything is possible, but you need three ingredients. First of all, you have to believe it's possible. Second of all, you need to do the work. And third of all, never give up. And with those three ingredients, you can accomplish your dreams.
All right, Cynthia, would you like a link to this show? You can put it on your blog or your website, and your fans or your friends can come by your website and listen to you on this show. Would you like a link?
Absolutely. Of course.
All right. Okay, I'll send you a link I'll send you a link in a few hours after the show is processed and podcast. Thanks for being on the show. You were great. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was Cynthia M. Roots on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She hung up pretty hard. All right, we're going to take a break right here, folks. This is Black History Month, so we're going to do a little bit of Martin Luther King. Here we go. A little bit of his I Have a Dream speech.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negroes' legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Wow, always love hearing that speech, that 1963 speech, I Have a Dream speech by no other than Martin Luther King. It's so inspirational, and it's so wonderful, and I just love hearing it. And it, since it's Black History Month, and we're going to be playing it periodically throughout the month, you know. But like I've said before, Black History, White History, we're all on this earth, and once it blows up, you know, we're all going to die, and Trump's going to make sure of that. They're saying, there's people out there right now saying Trump is going to blow us all to hell. You know, that's possible. I'm not going to take that off the table. It's possible. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's winging it as he goes. He's making it up as he goes along. That's all he's doing, you know, because he's signing these executive orders like a crazy man, like he's insane. And he's pissed off to the world, folks, that this judge stopped this federal judge stopped this Muslim ban that he so quickly implemented it without realizing the implications of it. And that's the way Donald Trump do things. He does things fast and quick without thinking, without realizing the ramifications. And then after he realized the ramifications, he started looking around for someone to blame and to blast. That's Donald Trump, you know. And, you know, unlike Morgan Freeman, I hope that the guy is successful. But at this point, he's not, because there's so many lawsuits up his ass. Everybody who's anybody is suing this guy. I mean, he's going to have to end up, he's going to end up in court one of these days, you know. I think his lawyers and the people around him, his handlers, are able to, you know, stop him from going to court. But like I said earlier into the show, this guy has got so many, he has so many impeachable offenses against him that it would almost be impossible for Congress not to impeach him at some time in the near future. Because you got some Republicans that are skeptical and are appalled at Donald Trump, especially when he keeps on trying to elevate Vladimir Putin of Russia. He keeps on trying to elevate this murderer, this killer. You know, he keeps saying nice things about a killer, and he doesn't care what you think or I think. I mean, it's what Donald Trump thinks. He's King Trump. At least I believe he's realizing now that he's not King Trump. You know, and I think he feels bad about that. But you know, as president, he can't show that in public. He can't show that that he feels bad about that we're not calling him or treating him as if he's king. You know, everybody knows that Donald Trump is so into himself. He is into himself. He's got an ego as big as his head. You know, it's not about America. It's about Donald Trump. You know, it's about what he's doing and what he's going to do. You know, I don't know. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank my guest, Cynthia M. Roots, for doing a great show. And I wish her all the best. And I hope you guys go out there and pick up that book. If you've forgotten the website, the blog, you know, all of that good stuff, you can always podcast the show and just, you know, play it back as many times as you want until you, you know, actually get the website. Okay. All right. It's 7:05 straight up Chicago time. We've been talking about Donald Trump. I guess that's the talk of the day. And I've said a few things about the Super Bowl, which was totally surprising, folks. It was totally surprising. I'm pretty sure if you watch it, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't care 2 cents for football. But for the people who do, we are totally in shock. We think that Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all, notwithstanding Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. This guy is going to go down in history. Right now, he's looking for his jersey. Somebody then stole his jersey, his number 12 jersey. I mean, I can see why he's looking for it, because it's memorabilia. I mean, it's something that he needs to hang in his basement or his den or his deck. And, you know, that's the jersey that he gotten his fifth ring. Fifth Super Bowl ring with. And so he wants that. I don't blame him, folks. If it was me, I would want my jersey too. If I won 5 or 6 Super Bowls, and I would love to have that jersey, that the jersey that I played in for to win that 5th or 6th Super Bowl. So I'm right with him right there. I think he was on television saying that his jersey that someone stolen would probably wind up on eBay or Craigslist. And he said, if it does, for people to let him know. He's a class act, I think, but a lot of people just don't like him because they say he's a toot. I don't know that much about him, but I do know that he's a great quarterback, attitude or not. The guy is, you know, phenomenal. Good looks. What can I say? And he's going to go down in history. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see what we have here. Okay. Morgan Freeman says Trump. He's going to be thrown off the cliff under Trump. But like I said before, I'm going to say this again. I Trump, I would like a job as being president of the United States. But with all these lawsuits and all this craziness going on in Washington with Donald Trump, it doesn't happen. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen, folks. But I do wish him well. He may be impeached in the next month or so. I don't, because I have a feeling that the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress are mulling over even Donald Trump. I mean, it's all on the internet that this be happening, or it should be happening. One of those three, maybe three out of three. Who knows? But we must resist every effort to disgrace our Constitution. We must resist every single step toward the takeover of our government by billionaires and bigots. America, we have been conned. Stand up to fight back with peaceful protest and rallies because they do work. Rallies do work. They protesting does work. When millions of people get out there in that street for a cause that is dear to their heart, a cause that they care about, it works. It works. These guys in Congress and the president, they will have to listen to that. But I don't think Donald Trump listens to any protests or rallies. I think that just makes him more more stupider or more dumber. Not to listen to the people. He only listens to those who vote for him. He'll only listen to those who like him. He will only listen to those who say nice things about him. You know, he's not the president of all people. He's only the president of those folks who like him. And that's the truth, because if you don't like him, if you say something against him, I mean, he's going to tweet nasty things about you. Honorary, he's going to attack you. He's going to blast you in the media on Twitter. But if you're saying something nice about him, if you're supporting him, oh, wow, he's all over you then. And I can't understand why a president of the United States, with all the things that this job, of all the things that this job have, I mean, why does he worrying about a ratings from a television show? That's crazy. You know, he's the president of the United States. This job is a big job. I mean, you know, the television show that I'm talking about, folks, is The Apprentice. And I've talked about this before. The guy is just obsessed with the ratings of The Apprentice show now that he's president. And since then, the ratings have been low, very low. The ratings have been in the gutter, the garbage. And he has an ongoing feud with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is now the current host since Donald Trump is president. And he is really going after Donald Trump. Arnold Schwarzenegger is going after Donald Trump because Donald Trump is coming after him. And it's like a feud in the media with these two guys. You know, Donald Trump is blasting Schwarzenegger, saying that he's a lousy, that he's not a good show host because of the ratings, which is crazy. If someone asked my opinion, I would probably say the Apprentice, the ratings are low because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not popular in the United States. His name is in the credits that roll when the show is over. He's the executive producer. His name is right up there on the show. When the show is coming on, when the show is going off, you see Donald Trump's name in the credits, even though Donald Trump is not on the show. He's president of the United States. As long as people know that that show is somehow affiliated to Donald Trump, nobody's going to watch it because they don't like Donald Trump. They don't support Donald Trump. They don't support the things that he's doing to the country, and he's doing quite a bit. That's why a lot of people are saying, well, we're going to get bombed off the face of the earth. And it's possible. Donald Trump's got his finger right there on the nukes. And somebody piss him off, wow, we're all dead. But he's, you know, I mean, as I speak right now, there's controversies on Donald Trump. And I try not to talk about him too much because I don't want to, but he's in the news. And, you know, you got to, if you love America, you got to try and find a way to try to save it, be a part of the solution to saving America, you know. And I think that's what's going to happen. So I do envy the people out there who get out there in these rallies and these protests, because they make a difference. They do make a difference. Even though Donald Trump and his goons, they don't care. They actually don't care. But still and all, the overturning of Donald Trump's Muslim ban throughout the country is a good thing. And they can't like it. They're going to try a tried to appeal it again. They tried to appeal it once, and it was knocked down. So Donald Trump is saying that I did the best I could. You let terrorists into the country. They wreak havoc. Don't blame me. Blame that so-called judge. Now, that's childish, Donald. That is so childish. But, you know, Donald, he has, just like Hillary Clinton said during the debates, the guy is just thin skin, and there is no doubt about it. He proves it every single day.
Johansson is speaking right now here in Washington. I want to listen in.
And when the time came for STD and cancer screenings, no judgment, no questions asked, Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance. Now, I may have been 15 and surprisingly self-sufficient, but I'm sure there isn't one person here who has not been helped by Planned Parenthood directly or otherwise. When I knew I was coming to speak on behalf of women's reproductive and health issues, every single one of my girlfriends had a story about Planned Parenthood. They saved me so many times. One of my best girlfriends confided in me, saying, "They saved my ass and some other parts too." When I found out I had precancerous signs I never would have known about without my annual checkups, and her speech grew more emphatic and emotional as she described how the organization had helped her decide between treatment options. She was able to make some difficult decisions, deciding what was right for her body and her then partner, without anyone else's interference. My sister also used Planned Parenthood services for years after moving states. She'd been living her whole life in New York City, pursuing her dream to move to California. She had no contacts and no health insurance, but was able to regularly see a doctor at a Planned Parenthood clinic for screenings, advice, birth control, and checkups. For the more than 2.5 million patients a year that rely on Planned Parenthood services for cancer and STD screenings, birth control, safe abortion, and pregnancy planning, these are uncertain and anxious times. Lawmakers in 24 states have tried to block patients from receiving care at Planned Parenthood. Congress has voted to limit access to reproductive services 9 times. Boo. Yes, boo. There are very real and devastating consequences to limiting access to what should be considered basic health care. For millions of Americans, Planned Parenthood is often the only trustworthy and affordable clinic providing safe education, sex education, safe abortion, and life-saving services. President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities. Let this weight not drag you down, but help to get your heels stuck in. I pledge my relentless devotion to support women's health care initiatives. I will not stop fighting to make basic women's health care available to all. I believe with every fiber of my being that the conversations that we have with our partners and our doctors about what we do with our bodies and our future should not be made fodder for any politician, political agenda, lawmaker, and for-profit corporation. We must stand up for what are our basic human rights and always move forward, never backwards. The current political administration benefits from taking the power away from us. Don't give up your power. Don't.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Lord, we don't need another mountain.
There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
There are oceans and rivers
enough to cross,
enough to land,
enough to last till the end of time.
What the world needs now, love, sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
What the world needs now, love, sweet love.
No, not just for some.
There are some trees and moon rings enough to shine.
Oh, listen to the Lord
if you want to know.
If you want to know.
All right, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show that you have been listening to. Thanks for joining me, folks. We got about 7 or 8 more minutes left into the show. I want to get this little bit in. Chicago Public Schools, the governor, Bruce Rauner, has frozen $69 million in school spending. This guy has to go. There is no doubt about it. He has to go. He has to go. I mean, this guy is not an educational governor, as he claimed when he was campaigning for the job. That's funny. You know, that's funny because every time a politician is running for a job, campaigning for a job, I mean, they are promised you the moon. But once once they take the job and they have it and they're in office, oh, wow, they become other people. They, instead of funding some of these sources, they're taking money away from these social services that people are in dire need of. And this is what Bruce Rauner has been about, you know, his 2 years in office. And if you've been listening to the show over the last 2 years, you know I have been really, really in this guy's ass because he's one of the most rotten. You talk about Donald Trump. You have not met someone who doesn't care about people until you met this Republican governor in a blue state that we call that, well, Bruce Rauner, okay? Bruce Rauner. And he's still trying to close a $215 million budget gap. We all blame the governor. Chicago Public Schools officials continue to chip away at that hole by freezing much of the $69 million in spending. That's just crazy, folks. The schools are going to be cutting teachers, laying off teachers. Programs going to be cut. After school programs are going to be eliminated. But these guys don't care. This guy doesn't care. The only thing he's going to say, the only excuse he's going to give for this is, well, Illinois does not have the money. Illinois has the money. He just doesn't want the schools to have any. Why doesn't he want the schools to have any of this funding? Because he hates unions. And he knows that the schools and most of the workplaces throughout Illinois are unionized. And one of the things this guy wants to do is bust unions. I mean, he hates unions so emphatically that he foams at the damn mouth whenever he says the word union. So this is why he's doing it. He figures unions aren't doing much or anything, but he fails to take to this. Oh, I'm having a senior moment, folks. He's failed to take in consideration that people throughout the state of Illinois, they want their unions. You know, they want their unions, but this governor will not listen. He will not listen. So I want to thank everybody. We're just about off the air. We got about 3 more minutes. I want to thank everybody for listening. Especially I want to thank my guest, Cynthia M. Rice, if I'm pronouncing her last name okay, for being on the show. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. And she was totally, totally knowledgeable. And that's what it's all about. When you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show, I'm going to do this song. It probably should take us out, but join me tomorrow, folks. We'll be right back on the George Wilder Jr. Show with more guests and more stuff to talk about. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bombs begin to fall. Everyone I ever saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
shit. He's clearly adopting Donald Trump's tactics of attacking vulnerable citizens in order to score political points.